experiencing a total reorientation in his own world. It's a beautiful pastime with lots of things to learn, and I request you to deeply enter the secrets of its lessons. You should know that talking in the evening about the amazing pastimes of saints and avatars is always the custom in ancient temples. Varanasi by the name of Prakashananda. His fame had spread all over India. He was known as the master of the Vedas. People from all the four directions came to Varanasi to learn from him. And soon, in his ashram, there lived 80,000 disciples. Prakashananda was a proud man. He was a man of the scriptures. He lived a disciplined, regulated life. And he forbade any trace of emotion to enter his hardened heart, because emotions, ecstasies, singing, dancing was the thing of the world. Prakashananda, all this needed to be left behind. Occasionally he had heard about Nimai Pandit, a scholar of similar fame in the town of Navadvip. Then he learned that Nimai Pandit had put his books aside and turned into a god, intoxicated saint, who danced with the people on the streets of Navadvip, totally intoxicated by the taste of the holy name of Krishna. When Prakashananda had heard these news, his lips curled up in contempt. This Nimai Pandit has turned into a magician using occult powers to simply influence gullible fools. The next news were even more disturbing. He heard that Nimai Pandit, the famous scholar, had renounced the world like he had done, taken to the sacred order of sannyasi, and gone to Puri, where he had converted his friend Savabhauma, the second best scholar of India, to join his movement. He had heard that Savabhauma had let his seeker remain loose, and that he danced in the kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as he was now called. Prakashananda was highly disturbed by this news. Imagine you are a materialist and you hear that Donald Trump has joined the Hare Krishna movement. This is found dancing in ecstasy under the Marble Arch in Paris to the tune of Madhava's drum. It would raise an eyebrow. But when he had heard that the same Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had come to his town, Varanasi, and that he had spread his movement of chanting the holy names, even in Varanasi, which was under his influence, he became highly enraged. What is this sentimentalist doing here in Varanasi? Does he want to spoil the people here? This is the ancient town of Shiva. The study of Vedanta is done here. What does this occult magician want here? Whenever he received news of the street sankirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he sneered at the saint. He offended Mahaprabhu. And all these bad words coming from Prakashananda began to weigh as heavy as the Himalayan mountains on the heart of the devotees. The devotees heard pain or felt pain day and night that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was offended. How do you feel when someone who's very dear to you is offended? You feel the pain in your heart, no? For the devotees of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, Prakashananda became a thorn in their flesh. One day, one Maharatha Brahmana came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he said, "I always hear these bad words about you from Prakashananda. He hates you, my Lord. But what fills my heart with wonder is that whenever he speaks about you, he refers to you as this Chaitanya. He never says your full name, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Why is it that the name Krishna does not find residence in his mouth?" Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had smiled at first. Here he was, the golden avatar, beyond praise and blame. The sun doesn't mind bad weather or clouds. The sun is always shining. So the Lord is not concerned whether he is in favor or disfavor of a common soul of this material world. But he gave a merciful answer. He said, listen, those whose mind is not filled with bhakti can never mention the name of Krishna. That's why he only says Chaitanya, life force. Then the Maharaja Brahman said, my Lord, I can't tolerate any longer this terrible offenses against you. My Lord, please accept my invitation. I have also invited Prakashananda for Thursday next week to come. Join us and they will get to know you. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had smiled almost as if this was his plan and said, take her. And he came and he agreed to come. So here's the scene. Next Thursday there was a huge shade giving baldachin, and many of Prakashananda Saraswati sannyasi disciples sat there, all stern men, well trained in austerity, fasting, staying up long nights, and protecting in rings their master who was sitting there, equally solemn. They were waiting for the disturbance of Varanasi, the one who made the whole town dance in ecstasy. All of a sudden, they heard in the distance a very sweet calling. Krishna, 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 sung by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his heart fluttered. There was a tremor going like an earthquake in his heart. He thought, will this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also hypnotize me like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya? The sannyasis, world-renowned ascetes who sit on the baldachin, started to strain their head. And they saw him coming. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the talk of all of India, approached. He had a golden effulgence, which was emanating from him. Lotus eyes that extended up to his ears and rained a shower of tears. Mahaprabhu's head was bent like this. He looked in the most humble and meek way on the ground. His large body was, when he stretched his arms out, 3.50 meters high, and up to the head it was 2.40 meters. 2.40 meters, you don't know, this is bigger than the biggest baseball player you have, basketball player of America. They have giants, they can't come through the door, they are so tall. But Mahaprabhu was taller than that even. He looked very immersed. Prakashananda, who was sitting there with this stick, to try to look very indifferent, I don't care, started to look. And as he saw him, he was overwhelmed by the beauty and loveliness emanating from each single limb of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he thought, this person is obviously a Mahapurusha, a great soul. By now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had approached the baldachin, but not exactly where everyone sat. It was a little place before where they washed their feet. It was a dirty place. You would see footprints everywhere, because washing feet in India at that time meant to wash the dust of the feet. People didn't have shoes when they were sannyasis. Mahaprabhu washed his feet. Everyone strained his head. And surprisingly, he did not come under the baldachin. He sat in the dirty place where there was water and dust. Dirty, dirty, dirty. And men's feet smell. I don't know if you have such feet also. They smell most aggressively. He sat there, down. Prakashananda felt, I thought he's a humbug person, humbug, a nonsense person who hypnotizes everyone. But no, he is the incarnation of modesty, innocence, and meekness. There can be no evil in this man. Have I wronged him? So he said, I first of all, he must sit amongst us. So he went to the dirty place. He took the hand of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he just wanted to lead him to come up these three staircases and sit amongst the other sannyasis, when he was surprised a second time. There was a light emanating from Gauranga Mahaprabhu as if he was the sun. He thought, this is the Brahman effulgence which I worship. It comes from this great soul. So he said, Swami, Swami, don't sit there. Come amongst us. Mahaprabhu looked at him and smilingly and very meekly said, I'm not worthy. I'm from a lower class of sannyas. I'm a Bharati, and you are a Sarasvati. Bharatis don't sit with Sarasvati, so they have to take a few births to be exalted like a Sarasvati. No, 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 said Prakashananda. No need of these formalities. You know, we are anyways not identified according to our castes. We are all one, no? We are God. Mahaprabhu smiled. And also Visanyasi's brothers just now come. So he took him to sit amongst the other sannyasis. Then he couldn't contain it any longer. He had to say it. I mean, you look so charismatic. You are a great soul, but why do you not associate with us here? Instead, why do you dance in the street with the common folk? This is what low-caste people do. Why not study Vedanta with me? Prakashananda became silent. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said very humbly, "My Guru Ishwarapuri told me I'm not qualified to study Vedanta. I'm too foolish to understand the Vedas." And he gave me this mantra to sing. And when I started to sing it, something came over me. I felt I must dance. And then some unknown emotions came. I started to cry and shout, "Krishna, where are you?" Sometimes I would laugh without a reason or a joke. At other times I would become totally sad that I have left the most beloved person. I thought, I'm becoming mad. Is this the desired outcome? Let me check with my guru. So I went to Ishwarapuri and told him about what stirred in my heart. And he said, "Good, good, my child. You have now understood the fruit of all the Vedic studies. Nothing is left unknown, because all the Vedas direct us to one goal, to love God, Krishna Prema." And as Mahaprabhu spoke, my dear devotees, the audience was not asleep like Keshava. The audience became alive. Thrill ran through their hearts. They felt extremely enlivened. The sannyasi disciples of Prakashananda wanted to ask questions. "Tell us more about the state of love of God. Our life is so dry." But they didn't dare to speak out in front of their master. Prakashananda collected himself and said, "Tika, okay, the shastras say that Krishna Prema is the most coveted blessings. But why have you given up the study of our scriptures and introduced a sentimental religion?" Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked up and said, "When you speak about studying the scriptures, you mean to study the commentary of Shankaracharya. But Shankaracharya got it all wrong." Now, this is something like going to, I don't know, to the Christian dome in Washington and say, "You study Christianity according to the presentation of Jesus, but Jesus got it all wrong." Wow! Prakashananda felt appalled. He felt, this is too much. Someone offends Shankaracharya. He said, let me then hear you explain the Vedic scriptures. Now this was an invitation to what is called a shastrata, a fierce competition. In modern times we have competitions for the best boxer or the best tennis player or the best swimmer or the best simply wonderful devourer. There are various competitions in various ethnic groups. In old times there was shastrata, competition of who understood, interpreted and explained the scriptures in the most compelling way, bringing logical arguments. It is an invitation for a fierce intellectual fight. Tomorrow we will hear about the battle of the giants. For now we will end. I leave you with a little Krishna Kirtan, which we will do. And tomorrow, come back for part two.